And again, thank you for coming tonight. Appreciate all who made an effort to be here. And I'm happy to be here. I'm always happy to come to O'Leary and to Prince Edward Island. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 49, first of all. Genesis and chapter 49. Your Bible is a unique book. When it comes to the Bible, it's divided in two, Old and New Testament. The Old Testament the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the New reveals the Old, if you can get that point right. And it's very important because the verses that I'm going to read tonight just shows that the person that we've been singing about is the center of all your Bible. Old Testament, there's pictures of him, and the New Testament, you have him himself. And we're going to look at both things. When it comes to him, we're going to speak a little bit about him and a little bit about the place where he dwells, the person and the place. Because oftentimes we forget, even as Christians, we get used to being where we are, gathered to his name. And we just want to speak a little bit about it tonight that we might appreciate it more and love it more. Genesis now and chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 10. All the plodsots or everything that is in the Bible has its start in Genesis. And that's very, very important. And this one is a very important verse. Genesis 49 and verse number 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The gathering of the people be. Very important. That's a very important verse. You know, when it comes to the person and the place, God always had it in mind. He always knew both the person and the place. And right here, we're finding that Shiloh is going to come. The Messiah is going to come. But the Messiah is very special. We've been singing about him tonight. And he's the one who died up on the cross. He's the one who met our need. He's the one who died for our sins. And right here we find that the people is going to gather to him. They're going to be drawn to him. And right from the very beginning. Now let us look to Acts and chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Because it points right over to the New Testament. And let us look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and verse 42. And we will read a few verses because what I want to say, I can't say it any better than just reading the Word of God. That's very clear. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and verse 42 now. Then they that gladly received his word. Well, he's the word. And they gladly received him. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And you know, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. And right here, he's come. And now they're preaching him. And that's what we're to preach. Then they that gladly received his word. That's the new birth. Born again by the word of God. We're baptized. And that's important, isn't it? After you believe in him, after you receive him, you're baptized. Identified with him, willing to follow him, willing to be identified and willing to follow him. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Then just notice verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So it's not just hearing about him, believing in him, not just being identified with him, but now living for him. And there's the truth, there's a teaching, and it's the apostles' doctrine that teaches us how to live for him and how to follow him. Continue, it says, and they continued steadfastly. Not only just continued, but it was the steadfastness. We're living in a day and age in which, we seem to be able to drift away from being steadfast and to continue. It's hard. Hard to continue to do the same thing over and over and over. Sometimes, you know, you get, if you listen to children, they'll say that they're bored. Why? They're doing the same thing over and over again so much so that they get bored. Do you get bored coming to meetings? You get bored going to meetings? Do you get bored worshiping him? Do you get bored, you know, spending time alone with him? Very important, isn't it? Continue and steadfast. Now listen, our older brethren in Newfoundland used to say, not stuck fast, but steadfast. Don't get stuck fast. And, you know, sometimes that happens with brethren when they come to a meeting in the worship meeting. You think they're stuck onto the chair. They never move off the chair. That's not that. It's steadfastness. And then in fellowship. And fellowship has two different directions. First of all, fellowship with God. That's vital. And that's important. And keeping in fellowship with God is important. Not just knowing that I am saved. That's not, some people say, well, you know, at least they are saved. No. That's not enough just to be saved. Because that's not what it teaches. You know, you go back to Mark's gospel and you'll find that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. So to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the apostle's doctrine is very important. Fellowship with God and fellowship with my brethren. Very important. Staying in fellowship with God and staying in fellowship with my brethren. Very, very, very important. And at the breaking of bread, notice where the breaking of bread is, right? And the breaking of bread is they're saved, they're baptized, they're obeying and wanting to live the truth of the apostles' doctrine, wanting to obey the apostles' teaching, and they're in fellowship, and it's important to the breaking of bread. That's very important, the breaking of bread. And it's ultimate important. And then it says in prayers. Now, let us look back to Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 16. For a verse here. And I was thinking tonight when I was coming, I'm not a teacher, I'm a preacher. All right? But it's nice just to simply stir us up in regards to the person and the place. Because if you lose appreciation of the person, then you'll lose appreciation of the place. And if you don't have the right appreciation of the place, then you're not going to have the right appreciation of the person. So it goes together. Matthew now, chapter 16, very important chapter here and very important verses that we want to just read together and comment a little on it. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll break in here at verse number 30. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Very important question, isn't it? The Messiah, he's come. And who is people saying he really is? Very important. Verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Very important now. This is the very important statement made here. And Simon Peter, and a lot of people, you know, they use a baseball bat on poor Peter so many times. But, you know, he does think and he does speak and he does say very important things. Right here it says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, it's important to understand who Jesus really is. Go back to Genesis. They promise he's coming. And, you know, as you come to Acts, you'll find out he's come. And they preach about him and things around him. Now, when you go back to Matthew here, the disciples, the one who spend time with the Lord Jesus, and Peter makes a very important statement here. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, just look at the next verses that we read here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And that's very important to understand and to allow the Spirit of God to show you from the Word of God who the Lord Jesus really is. And when you learn who he really is, then you'll have dignity for him and appreciation for him, and you'll have an appreciation for where he is in the place. Now, just look at verse number 18. Very important verse. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church. Very important. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to say a little bit about the church. A church is an ecclesia, or a called out people. It's a special people. Those that are linked with him. Those that are linked to the foundation. Very important to be linked to the foundation. Very important to be built upon the foundation. When it comes to the church, you can look at it two different ways, and we'll look at it a little bit tonight in two different aspects. First of all, universal. Worldwide. Worldwide. Every single person that believes the word and is saved is in the church of God. No mistake. No mistake. And absolutely no mistake. And not only that, but can never be taken out of the universal church of God. And we will read to you in John just after this. And that's very, very important. Because being in Christ, knowing that I belong to the Savior, knowing that I belong to the foundation and to the work and the movement of the Spirit of God is very, very important and very vital. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Very important. Now, chapter 18 is an important verse too, and verse number 20. And this one most of us know by heart. And it's a very important verse. Verse chapter 18, Matthew 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered or have been gathered, have been called out. It's the Spirit's work. The building of the universal church is of God, and the building of a local church is of God too. The Spirit of God must do it. It's reveal the truth of Christ dying upon the cross for my sins, and I believe in him, and I become a living stone in the living church. Very, very important. But now, taking my place as a local gathering is very important too. For where two or three have been gathered together, or have been called out together in my name, very important. Don't forget, in my name. In mine, where it says the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's right. He's coming. And that's very, very important and very vital. In my name. There am I in the midst of them. A good study is the little word midst. And you find where he is. You can. It's not 1,001 times found in the scriptures. It's a number of times. And this is one of them. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Right there. Very important. That's very important. And we'll speak a little bit about it as we go. Now, you just look to John's gospel, because I told you in the body of Christ or in Christ, you can never be taken out of that body and never lose your salvation. And that's very, very important and very vital. John's gospel and chapter 10, very important chapter. Chapter 10. We'll break in at verse number 25. Jesus answered them, I tell you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, in my name, and now he says, in my Father's name. He came in his Father's name, and that's very important. We gather in his name. That's very important. They bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I say unto you. Now listen, just look very carefully. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Once you've given that life, and you're put into the body of Christ, and you're a living stone in the living church, it can never be removed. Never be removed. And these are some of the verses that shows you. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, And this is the next verse is a very, very important verse to get a hold of. And you'll appreciate the Father's hand and the Father's house and the Father's Son more if you get a hold of this. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Very important verses. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit, and I will read in another place, but not for now. We'll want to talk to you about the universal church of God and the local church of God. And it's very important. Every believer is in the universal church. Every no matter where they live in any country, no matter where they affiliate with or where they go or where they worship or whatever, don't really matter. Once you're in the body of Christ, you're in that universal church and can never be removed. Absolutely never be removed. Get a hold of it. It'll give you an appreciation of the Father. It'll give you an appreciation of the Son. I and my Father are one. You know, there's a lot of people that even professing Christians that don't really get a hold of that truth, and that they're in the universal church and can never be taken out. And the distinction between being in that church and now a local church right here, because a local church is still an ecclesia, it's still a called out people. A people that is called out. And that's very important to understand that. And because when you come to a local place, you can be taken in. That's why, you know, when you come to a worship meeting, you will find that there are those that are in fellowship, that worship in the fellowship. And then there's the back seat, that there are those that are observing and looking at those that are in fellowship. There's a distinction. You're either in or you're out of the local assembly. But then you can be taken into the local assembly, but then you can be put out too. You can be put out, and you can leave too. You can choose to leave, because it's a decision on your part, as well as a called out gathering, as the called by the Holy Spirit. It's important to see the truth from the Word of God, and it's important to see that. You can be received in the fellowship, and if you read your Bible right, there are things that you can be put out of fellowship for. So there's an in and an out. And that's very, very important and very, very vital. And to understand that I can never lose my salvation gives me the joy of knowing that it's not depending upon me. It's not depending upon my works. It's not depending upon what I do. It's faith in Christ and the work of Christ that brings me into the body. But now, you know, when you come to Acts chapter 2, and that very important chapter here too, and verse 41 and verse 42, very important teaching here is the preaching of the Word of God. That's what's happening in Charlottetown, and what's happening in the Borden area tonight, even as we speak here. And the preaching of the gospel is very important and very vital. It's very important to the foundation of a local assembly. You get a light gospel, you get a light profession, and you'll get a light reception and a light fellowship. But it's important to learn that God's place is a holy place. Now, I want to read to you, before I go any farther, just go back to the book of Exodus. Because God had his place in the Old Testament too. And this one is important. Exodus chapter 40. And listen very carefully as I read down through these verses. And there's a number of words that are used over and over and over again, which is very important. And I want you to get a hold of it. Because in a local assembly, just like the church is holy, a local assembly is a holy place. It's not another place, not just another place amongst many places of the world. It's the place where his honor dwells. Now let us look back to the Old Testament and get a little picture of this. Exodus chapter 40. Moses is building the tabernacle and he's structuring it. Verse 16. Exodus chapter 40, verse 16. Listen very carefully. thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Now notice that little phrase, because it's seven times in this chapter right here it's mentioned. Right? It says, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Now, the tabernacle, the only reason why the tabernacle was special is we're going to find out what makes it really special. It's not the things that it was made of. It was, as you go down through, you'll learn why it is very special. Now, verse 17 and 18, you'll find what Moses did, some of the things that he did. Verse number 19, and he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above upon it, as the Lord commanded Moses. He's doing it according to the word of God. He's building it according to the instructions of the Lord. And that's very important. Verse 20 is a little add-on to it. Verse 21, and he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering and the covering of the ark of the testimony, as the Lord commanded Moses. It's important to understand that it is scripture. And when it comes to the local assembly now, and we'll talk a little bit about it after, a local assembly is important that you get it, that is according to the scriptures. It's the pattern that God has given to us. Now, down to verse 23. And he set up the board in order. And that's important. It was important in the tabernacle that as Moses did this construction and obeyed the Lord, that everything was put in order. You couldn't build that the right way if you didn't go by the instructions and obey the word of God and add the order. And listen, the disorder comes when you and I in a local assembly, the disorder comes when you and I don't obey the scripture. When you and I want to bring our ideas into a local assembly, Moses had no right to bring any of his ideas into the tabernacle. Not at all. He was to follow what God had commanded him. Now, very important. Verse 25. And he lighted the lamp before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. Moses just did what God told him to do in building the tabernacle and putting it all together. It would make no sense, absolutely no sense, if Moses did it his way, if he didn't obey God. Not anything. Verse 27. And he burned sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. Very important. Very, very important. Verse 29. And he put the altar of the burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it, and the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Seven times over, it was instructed and very detailed that God, Moses was to obey God. Now, let us go down to the next verses here. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar and put water thereon to wash with all, to wash. Very important was the washing of the priests as he did the order, or did the things in the tabernacle and made the offering. He was to keep clean. Very important. We're not from Aaron's priesthood now. We're the priesthood of all believers, but it's still very important to keep clean. And the laver was the only thing in the tabernacle that didn't have any measurements. You know why? It's a picture of the word of God, and you can't measure the word of God. They were to keep clean by the laver, washing in the laver. And you and I, we need to keep clean by the word of God. Now, down to verse number 31. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet, they're all. And that's very important too. You know, we're to keep our hands clean and we're to keep our feet clean. We're to handle, we are handling holy things, they were too, and that's why their hands were to keep kept clean, and we're walking on holy ground. the truth of God and the word of God and the truth of the assembly and standing in the presence of God as holy territory. And all the priests need to keep clean. Very important. Verse 32 now. When they went into the tent of the congregation and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle of the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Tabernacle was finished. He did the work. Now the next verses are very important. Very, very important. Listen very carefully. Verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. The tabernacle would be a disaster without the presence of the Lord. The tabernacle made no sense without the presence of the Lord. The tabernacle would have meant nothing, but God's presence was there. And it was the glory of the Lord. All right? Filled the tabernacle. Verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It is very important. Understand that. That God's presence was in the tabernacle, and that's what made the tabernacle special, that God was there, and his glory filled the place. Moses couldn't go in once when the glory of the Lord was there. Very important. Verse 36, and when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. Very important. Verse number 37. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. The cloud, the presence, the glory of God guided them. We need the same today. And we can't afford to lose the sight of the glory of God. We can't afford to lose the sight of the holiness of God, the holiness of his presence. Verse 38. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day. Now let's notice, very important verse is this one. The cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was upon it by night. You're a Christian day and night. You're not just a Christian when you come to meeting and you're in the light. You're a Christian day and night. That's very important. Ultimate important. And the Lord guided them day and night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. You know what, when they went wrong is when they lost sight of the glory of God. You can read history, the Bible itself, of the movement of Israel. And when they give God his place, when God had his place in the tabernacle, when God was the one who lifted the cloud and guided them, they were guided right. But when they made their own decisions, and you can follow that by Saul. You can read it in the life of Saul, King Saul. You can read it as he was in fellowship with God and allowed God to guide him and allowed the word of God to guide him. And Moses was the same. Moses was no difference. As Moses took the people of Israel out of Egypt and takes them through the wilderness, they were guided right when they obeyed and stayed close to the cloud and allowed the cloud to guide them by day and by night. They needed the shade of the cloud to keep them from the heat. And they needed the shade of the fire in the night to keep them warm. You need God all the time. You can't afford. In stormy days and in good days and in bad days, you need to be close to him. You need to understand that his glory is the one that guides you. And that's very important and very vital. As you think now of the New Testament, it's not the tabernacle. It's an assembly of God. Souls that have been saved by the preaching of the word of God. It's nice to go into a new area. And we've done it in Russia. We've done it in the Ukraine. We've done it here in Canada. You go and preach the word of God to people, to individuals, and they listen to his word. They listened to the preaching of the gospel. We were in the tent and listened to John and they preach. And it's amazing as you think, you know, just to listen to that word and to be convicted by that word, and the moment when you trusted the Savior and you believed in Him. There are many here in this meeting tonight, and you've known that time when you trusted in Him, and then you wanted to be identified with Him, isn't it, through baptism. You know, not only preach the word of God to be saved, but be identified, to be linked with Him, to be linked with the one that is going to be the leader, it says in Genesis 49. Unto Him shall the gathering of the people be. You're identified with the Savior, with the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus is alive and well in late great planet Earth. And it's amazing when He saves people from every nation of the world. When He goes into every country and every nation and every village and every city and the gospel is preached, it will do the same to every village and every individual. And no matter what language is preached in, it's amazing, isn't it? No matter what language the word of God is preached in, when you receive that word, they sit there, they gladly receive. And every one of us know that there was a moment when we were lost in our sins and we were going down and getting darker and darker and farther away from God. And there came that moment when the Spirit of God made it real to us, and we gladly trusted in Him. We looked to Him for everlasting life. And then there came that moment when we wanted to be obedient to Him. I understand there's a baptism in Charlottetown Sunday. That's amazing, isn't it? When you get linked to Him, you want to be identified with Him. You want to be brought to just be identified with the man who reached and saved you. I remember seeing a Russian girl get saved in Russia. And you know, as she listened to us teach the Christians and to teach, the saints after they were saved, she came to us one day and she wanted to be baptized. And I said to her, "Well, how come you have told me over and over again that you didn't really want to be gathered where we gather, and yet you want to be baptized?" "Ah," she says, "Eric, listen. My baptism is not linked to where I'm going to be gathered. My baptism is linked to my salvation when I trusted Him. I want to be identified with Him." And that's true. That's where it brings in here, where they gladly received His word and they were gladly baptized, immersed. That's right, baptism. You need to, and a lot of people in the world don't get that either. You know, baptism means immersed. It means submerge, and it's like you're burying the old person that has died, and when you bring up the person out of the water, you're bringing up that brand new person that is identified with Him, that have new life in Him, and you bury the old person. You know, one man used to smoke quite heavy. In fact, he used to smoke the pipe. Smoking the pipe, he got saved. And when the brethren baptized him, at the bottom of the pool, they found a pipe. He left the pipe at the bottom of the pool. He had a pipe with him. When they baptized him, he let go his pipe, and it fell to the bottom of the pool. And he says, "Listen, I buried the old man. I buried everything about the old man." And that's what you need to just get a hold of, a truth of being baptized with Him and to be identified. But then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Oh, wow. That's a lot, when you think about it. And I was going over some of it yesterday and some of it today, and I've gone over it a number of times, the apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine. What do you get? 1 Corinthians, the lordship of Christ. And if you get anything from Corinthians, you get the lordship of Christ. The Lord is everything. The Lord is first. How many of us are really putting the Lord first in everything? Lordship of Christ. And that's very important. That's right. And in Corinthians, you'll find a lot of teaching about the ladies having their place and keeping their place and obeying in the word of God in their place, the lordship of Christ. Very, very important. When you come to the book of Ephesians, it's the one body. And, you know, that's another thing and a truth. And there's a lot of more other truths in the book of Ephesians, not just the one body. You know, you get the truth of gathering to his name. One person, one body, Jew and Gentile, all in here. And, you know, it's nice not just to see the Jew and Gentile in Christ, saved in the body of Christ, but you know, it's nice to see the different nationalities gathered to remember him. That's linked to him, isn't it? In a local, one body, one person. And then when you come to Colossians, it's the all sufficiency of Christ. He is everything. You know, when storm comes, he's the one who takes us through the storm. We just recently had my aunt, last aunt on my mom's side, die when I was in Manitoba in meetings. And that was one thing. My aunt was 92 or 93 years old. And, you know, she's done as a Christian, she was saved for 60-odd years, one of the first ever saved in Labrador when the gospel went there, the first ever that found her place amongst the assembly of God, the truth of gathering to his name. And, you know, she had a family of her own, and she had some rough times. She lost a son by an airplane crash, you know, in Green Island, in Greenland. And then, you know, she had a grandson that got killed on the highway. And she had another son that died instantly with a heart attack. You know, it's just one thing after the other, you know, of hard times. And she trusted in him. She everything. Christ was sufficient for all the trials and took them through. But you know, 2 weeks after she dies, her granddaughter, 18 years of age, went for a walk and didn't survive the walk. Went into eternity, 18 years of age. Oh, listen, and that was the great granddaughter. The granddaughter says, "Listen, Nanny taught us how to go through storms, the all sufficiency of Christ. Christ helping you in everything. He's meeting your need. Not only meet your needs, you know, financially. Not only meet your need, you know, health wise. He meets your need all the way through. And no matter what the storm is, he's sufficient. That's the apostles' doctrine. That's the truth of learning Christ. And you come to the Roman epistle. The Roman epistle is the gospel. Keep at the gospel, Prince Edward Island. Because there's going to be more pressure. I've said in Pugwash Junction once that there are pressure from started in British Columbia and has found its way out across the country to Ontario, and the pressure is coming to the east. There's more pressure coming. And we need godly men at the helm. We need men who know Christ. We need men who know the book. We need men who are living the book, not just know the book, living the book, to guide the sheep. Storms are coming, and they're going to be heavier. Mr. Alec Driver used to say that if it doesn't get worse, then something is wrong with the book. It is going to get worse. Once Winston Churchill, before the war in Europe, he was in Europe. And he was with Hitler. And he talked to him. And he came back to Britain. And he told Britain and the British, "We got to get ready because he's coming. We have to get ready because he's coming. And listen, the darkness is coming. We can't hide our heads. And the Lord is coming. But it's going to get darker before the Lord comes. Don't be mistaken. And therefore we will need the apostles' doctrine to keep us. To keep us in fellowship with himself." That's the first thing. One thing that I fear. There's one thing that dreads me as I move across the journey of a Christian life and race here below, is to get out of fellowship with God. I have met so many Christians that used to be in happy fellowship and got away from the apostle teaching. Had their ideas. Had their ideas about the assembly, had the ideas about gathering to his name, had different ideas about the truth of God. Moses had no right to have any ideas of putting the tabernacle together according to what God told him. And the assembly truth is the very same day. Men of the past, godly men. I was in Ontario. Larry Steers went to his funeral. Godly man stood firm in Ontario amongst the storm. Robert Surgener buried down in the United States just recently. And I've got news this week that a missionary, Alan Clark, missionary from Nicaragua, living in Ontario, just passed away. And I got a text after the passing. You know, they says, these men were men who taught us the truth of a local assembly and that the glory of God was dear. Listen, I remember the very first morning as a boy, saved and baptized, sitting in the back, observing the Christians in Lancelot Assembly break bread for the first time in my life. You know what I understood? The glory of God is here. It's real. It's genuine. It's genuine. And if you lose sight of that, and if the Christians in O'Leary and Christians in Prince Edward Island lose the sight of the Lord's presence in his gathering, you're going to be in trouble. Big trouble. So you need to stick to the teaching of the apostles' doctrine. The Philippine epistle, what is that? His joyfulness. As they labored, they were joyful. There's nothing worse than meeting a grumpy old man. Unless it is a grumpy old woman. Because we all get grumpy, don't we? Listen, we need to labor joyfully. And in order to do that, we got to stay in happy fellowship with the Lord. We have to be in happy fellowship with the Lord to do things joyful, to come and fix the seats when nobody else fixes them. Now, I've been in assemblies and, you know, they leave it all up to one or two to do all the changing and to do everything. And, you know, they wear out the old. They wonder why they don't give up. Well, if they did give up, what would we have if some of them did give up? If the older ones did give up, what would we really have? Ah, listen, we need young men and young women with a vision of learning the truth, not just knowing the truth of apostles' doctrine, but living it. It's far more important that to have men and women living the apostles' doctrine than it is men and women teaching it. Because that's the best way you can teach. My best teacher, I never saw him on a platform. The one who taught me the most about gathering to the lovely name locally and gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I never once saw him on a platform. But you know what? I watched him in his business. I watched him with his wife. I watched him with his children. I watched him as he came to meetings. When he stayed home, everybody would stay home. When he wasn't there, nobody was there. He lived the truth. And that's what we need in Prince Edward Island in 2024. We need men and women who know the apostles' teaching. And that's why it's important to read your Bible. It can't be stressed enough. That's why I told you to listen to what I read tonight. You listen to what I read, because what I read was more important than what I say about it. But it's important to what I say about it too. And it's important. Galatian epistle. What's the Galatian epistle? Separation to the Lord. The Lord himself separated to him. He is everything. Very, very important. First and Second Timothy. What's that? The pastoral epistles. That's what you get teaching. You get teaching for home life. You get teaching for women. You get teaching for men. You get teaching for every priesthood. Every priest that is in the priesthood. Everyone. And every detail of the movement of the priest. Because everything we do is important. That's right. Not the things that we do in our homes and the things that we do in our business and the things that we do at the market and the things all the way through. You get tested everywhere, even on the highway. Even on the highway. That's right. Because people are crazy, you know, they do crazy stuff. My wife was driving down the highway one day. I was in seat with her, and you know, she put on her signal light to turn into this turn left, and a boy, you know, passed her on the left and did the same turn. And while she was trying to get a maneuver from him, another guy on the other side turned and went into the same intersection on the same way. That's the world we live in. And when it comes to the truth, that's the way to use the truth too. That's why it's important that you and I know how the world is maneuvering and to be guided by the cloud, the Sakona cloud, the cloud of His glory, to allow the glory of God to guide. The first morning I watched the breaking of bread in Lanceloo, you should have seen the brethren as they got up to go towards the table to break the bread, tiptoed, quietly and honorably and godly, as they tiptoed to the table and took a hold of that bread and broke it and allowed it to be hand to hand, to person to person. And the same thing with the cup, because the glory of God was there. Don't lose the sense that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now listen, the tabernacle was an ugly place without the glory of God. And you know what? If we lose the glory of God in a local assembly, a local gathering, it'll be an ugly place. I've heard stories that shock you to the backbone of things that went on in a local assembly that lost the sight of the glory of God. I can only pray this. As I come to Prince Edward Island and know the assemblies on Prince Edward Island, I can only pray that the assemblies on Prince Edward Island will not lose sight of the glory of God. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If you're not gathered on the apostles' doctrine, and you're not gathered to His lovely name, you can't claim the presence of God. Now you can try, and I'm not going to be the one who decided that is not in other places. But the Word of God is very important. And if you see that, if you see the glory of God and the people of God obeying His teaching and the apostles' teaching, and you know that the fear of God is in the midst, and you know He's there, you will want to be there and you won't want to leave it. You will have no desire of ever leaving the place because you know He is there. He is there. And that's what makes it different. If He wasn't there, the weight would just be the same, and the carpet would just be the same, and the platform would just be the same, and it'd just be an ugly building. But when the people come in and God's presence is there, that is what makes the difference. And we trust that every single person that is received into any assembly in Prince Edward Island would understand that truth. That the Lord Himself is there and is very, very important and very vital. Now, I'm going to read a couple verses to you and I'll finish. One is found in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel and chapter 43. Just listen to this verse here. Verse 43, or chapter 43, and we'll read from verse number 4. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prosper is towards the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, let us look to Haggai. Haggai, and I was surprised to find this one in the book, little book of Haggai. And it's very important verse here. Haggai and chapter 2. And I always have problems finding the book of Haggai, but it's here. Haggai chapter 2 and verse number 7. Listen to what it says. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Where is it now? Right where we gather to the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His glory. His glory is there. One other verse, and it is 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles and chapter 7. And you know, it is a tremendous story. As I study, I was doing some of this study, and it really touched my heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for it is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I saw Lancelot when God's glory was in the midst. And we saw the Atlantic Canada assemblies when the glory of the Lord was in the midst. And listen, don't lose sight of that for whatever you do. There will be pressure come from the west as far as British Columbia, through Ontario, and more pressure is coming for the truth of God. Many truths that are taught in the apostles' teaching. Listen, we need powerful, godly men and women who will stand and not bow to anything whatsoever or burn by the fires that would seek to burn into the truth of the assemblies of God. Have backbone. Don't be jellyfish. Don't be jellyfish Christians. Stand for the truth. Because one day, Moses had to give an account. And listen, because of his disobedience, he didn't get into the land. Now listen, not because of disobedience, we're not going to get into heaven. We're going to be there. That's why I showed you that truth at the beginning. You're in the Church of God Universal and can't be taken out. But listen, the truth of local gatherings are important, and to know that every local gathering is filled with the glory of God, not the glory of man. Man shouldn't have any place. He has his place, and when men and women keep their place within the apostles' teaching, it brings the glory of God right into the place. May O'Leary and all the assemblies of Prince Edward Island hold to it and not lose the glory of God. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the truth. We just touched the hymn of it tonight as we think of the one that was promised. The scepter shall not depart from Shiloh until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering all the people be. We're thankful that it comes right down to our day. Christ came into the world, died upon the cross, and we're thankful that he has little gatherings where his presence is. And we would ask that he to help us to live the truth and to hold the truth and to see God move in salvation and others gather to his name and the little assemblies hold to the glory of God. Bless thy word, bless thy people as we give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.